This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are joined by Udeliwe Kupe, who is an organizer at the Casual Workers Advice Office, to help us make sense around what is this latest development that, of course, has got particular implications around, you know, vulnerable workers, also just the timing of some of these pressure points we see in the context of our labor relations. Udeliwe, good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening and good evening to the listeners at home.
Sure, and I mean, so it, you know, I guess the high level, I guess, sentiment is that, you know, there is a labor broker that has axed 21 vulnerable women just before Christmas, and maybe just walk us down memory lane around kind of the genesis of the of this particular challenge that we are dealing with at this point in time, and then kind of we'll then journey around kind of where it is today.
Yes. Okay. The 21 workers were under a agent called a Pakisa. They were dismissed for participating in a demonstration. We had the first demonstration on the 8th of March, where we were joined by the community of Tokoza, also by a workers forum, which is in Jimiston, called Simonyo Workers Forum. Also, the workers, 22 workers, join us on the demonstration, the first demonstration on the 8th of March, that we were having demands that we wanted to give to the management of Nature's Garden, which were guaranteed hours of work, because the workers that are under the labor broker are not guaranteed any hours. They must go and stand at the gate, and then a supervisor from Pakisa will come and pick maybe... If Nature's Garden is saying, I need 10 workers today, and then he will go and pick 10 workers, and then that worker will work for about 3 days. So we wanted an end to that. We wanted Nature's Garden to take the workers, because by operational of law of Section 198, if a worker who's under a labor broker has been in the client company for more than 3 months, and then they are deemed to be permanent employees of a client company, which in this case is Nature's Garden. Another demand was access to the clinic. At Nature's Garden, they have a clinic inside the company, but the clinic is only accessed by the permanent workers. Labor broker workers are not allowed to use the clinic. Also, the end of use to the ID. Before they can get the PPE, they must produce their ID, which are taken by the Pakisa, and then they are given the PPE to go and work. The treatment are not the same. They are not earning same salary as the permanent. We can do a same job, working same hours, but the permanent will earn more than the labor broker. Also, the permanent... they have things like your provident fund, your medical aid. Labor brokers, they don't have that. Also, there are times that the permanent get vouchers. The permanent, they don't get that. Also, we were fighting the favoritism between, because the
yes, sir.
Yes, because the supervisors of the labor brokers, they tend to have a favoritism. One worker can be scheduled more than the others. If they don't like you, you are that worker who always speak out when there are things that are not going okay, and then you are not scheduled for work. So we did that demonstration. The Nature's Garden management did come and sign the memorandum. And after that, only one demand was met. One of the site manager of Pakisa, Kumbulani, was removed from the site of Nature's Garden. The others, they did not meet them. Then that's when we decided the company, they did...
How many demands in total were there?
There were 9. It was guaranteed hours of work. And to labor broker, we wanted to be no labor broker, which is Pakisa Day. then the PPE must be provided because they were not providing them the PPE. If I'm picked to go inside their workplace, then I must wait for a permanent to give me their PPE. Then I must produce an ID so that I can get the PPE. Also, access to the clinic, the vouchers they were not getting, equal treatment was not there. We also wanted this site manager of Pakisa, which is Kumbulane, to be removed in the site.
Had he been found to be acting with malfeasance or inappropriately?
Yes, because some of the workers, they highlighted that there's favoritism, also sexual harassment. Mm. He was asking a women comrade that they must sleep with him so that he will schedule them like almost every day.
Sure.
So he was removed.
Mm. It is 19 minutes after 7 o'clock, Paulus. Now we are in conversation with Mrs. Deliwe Kupe, of course, who is coming from the Casual Workers Advice Office and is an organizer there. And I think leaning into some of the challenges that have emerged coming out of a strike that was, conducted at Nature's Garden, that is the company that does the frozen vegetables, and particularly around casual workers there. And really, as we heard earlier, there were 9 demands that were ultimately received by management, and only one of them, which was the removal of one of the site managers, I think was fulfilled. And I think just for the basis of, or I guess for just getting us all on board around the strike and all of the related issues, see, so you did have a demonstration. One, was it legal?
It was not a strike. It was just a demonstration. A demonstration, you don't have to apply. You just go and stand there at the gate with your placard. It's just a freedom of expression.
What's the difference between a demonstration and a strike, just for all of us who may not know the difference?
A strike, you have to go and apply for it at the CCMA. And then a strike, you just stop a production, so that the company can't make any profit. But a demonstration, because workers were working, they were just outside the premises. The production was going on, nothing was stopped.
Okay. And then around, one of the demands around guaranteed hours of work, in terms of the labor law as well and the provisions of the labor law, does it not go beyond just duration also? Because one, it's there'll be issues around minimum hours worked per week. It'll be form and shape of the work done, frequency, even if within over a long duration. And this is why, from a legal point of view, we're still able to define what casual workers are.
But the kind of work that is done at Nature's Garden, it's not like it's seasonal. Maybe it's during winter where they have to come and work with oranges. Nature's Garden products are always here from whole year around. So it's not kind of work that they can't take these workers permanent. They always have work.
No, but casual work doesn't only pertain to seasonal work. Sometimes it is on demand work based on inventory levels, based on a whole lot of things that are also then the enterprise would need to fulfill around the need for casual work or part-time work. And this is why we're able to see, even when we look at our labor numbers, how sometimes there's a shift between full-time work and part-time work because of all of the things that ultimately need to be, guided by the labor law. And this is what I was saying, is that it's not just about seasonality. It is about one, frequency of work, total hours worked over a particular period, etc. And so if the guys are circulating the guys maybe every 2 days, they're not getting the minimum hours of, I think it's between 40 and 45 hours per week over a particular period of time, amongst other things that then must be fulfilled for that worker to be deemed to be an employee.
Yes, they are not getting the hours, but there's no casual workers. It's just the weight. There's no such a way as a casual. So they are not guaranteed those hours. And the workers at Nature's Garden, they are under an agent. They are labor broker workers, which that's why I said Section 198.
Mm. Is this not then maybe this is first and foremost a labor law issue around the definition of casual workers before it is a Nature's Garden issue, because Nature's Garden is going to say that they are guided by the law, and so for them, you know, they are well within, they can argue that they are well within their bounds to then define these individuals as casual work insofar as they do fulfill the requirements for them to be qualified as casual work. And so should this conversation not be going to Department of Labor?
It should, but also the companies, they are just using it to exploit workers, because these workers, as I'm saying, they are not actually casual. They are under a labor broker. So they should have made them permanent long time ago, because this law came into effect in 2015. So they should have made them a permanent workers. They are just running away from the law.
Sure. And then, I mean, you made also a mention around PPEs, and that if you're a casual worker, then you must kind of show some form of ID before you get PPE. I mean, and I'm just asking from a layman's point of view, for anyone that you are assuming in terms of any casual work, whether I go outside of builder's warehouse and I bring a plumber there, if then I require them to show identification first before they perform the task, isn't that a reasonable ask?
It's not reasonable, because these workers have been there for almost, some of them, 9 years, 8 years. So they do have all their particulars. So I don't agree with that. Mm. Yes.
But I mean, again, there are provisions around, for example, POPIA Act, around which records do you keep and which ones you don't keep, and for the duration that you keep. And so what are the laws that are provisioning around that? And simply, I'm trying to understand this insofar as then, you know, through the mediation process that this has been levied through the CCMA, they are also able to kind of follow, you know, the criteria process to understand ultimately how to get to a resolution in the mediation process itself.
But this at Nature's Garden has been happening way long before the POPIA Act came into effect. So it's been happening for a long time that they must produce their ID before they can get the PPE. And most of the time they do lose this ID, because every day now you must go and with your ID, carrying your ID, and then they get lost. And once your ID is lost, then they don't schedule you for work, because then, which means you can't, you won't be able to receive the PPE. Mm. So this at Nature's Garden has been going on way before the POPIA law.
Sure. We do have a call coming in from Rodeport, Sisi. It is coming from Ubegi, also to just join the conversation we are having. Peggy, good evening.
Good evening, man. It's a very touching subject, man, and my sympathies to those workers there. You know, but I just wanted to ask Sfiso, because these some of these transgressions are overreaching. For instance, being denied a clinic, you know, which is a health facility in Nature's Garden, and also being denied a protective gear. It's so much overreaching. I just wanted to know or ask here, if they've approached the Department of Labor regarding some of these transgressions.
Sure. Thanks, Budi. And I mean, I think the point you're making, Peggy, is exactly the point I was asking earlier on, is that have we looked at the channels through which these things can be resolved more meaningfully, since Delaware, to ensure that the people who are supposed to be held accountable are held accountable at the right level by the right people? You know, when there is, for example, a case of sexual harassment, you know, yes, there is a process of lodging that complaint with an enterprise, which you guys did, and the enterprise responded. But there's also subsequent one, for example, that could go through a criminal process with the police, just like with the labor issues, etc. And so really, I think for me, I'm trying to get to the bottom of around, like, have we made sense around, you know, how, what's the optimal process to follow so that we can actually get these workers' rights recognized, as well as all the issues that are surfaced dealt with at the appropriate level?
For us, by doing the demonstration, because Casual Workers Advice Office, we assist workers, we have seen that most of the time the law is failing the workers. Your Department of Labor, your CCMA, workers can go there and lodge a complaint. And when the inspector comes to the company, he's supposed to report back to the workers that I came to your company as you saw me, and then maybe interview some of the workers. They will go straight to the management office, and then after that, they leave. When the workers go maybe to seek an update of what happened, they don't get those updates. They will do many, many follow-ups until they give up. So most of the time, the law is not working for the workers. It's not for the workers. That's why also as we decided that let's take the matters into our own hands and do the demonstration.
Sure. And I mean, you know, with some of the points that you raise around favoritism, etc., and I guess the scheduling process also not being done fairly, is the company legislated in any way to, one, share a scheduling policy with you guys? And if they are, or if they have a scheduling policy, and then that one you can compare against, and you said, this is the scheduling policy that you have as a company, and you are doing the things you're doing against your own scheduling policy? Or is this, in essence, just a pressure point around the fact that they've got freedom to schedule whichever way they have, and it's resulted in some level of favoritism?
These companies, they do have policies, but most of the time, the policies are only new by the management. Workers are not even given the policies. Even when they ask, they will ask and ask until they get tired. Even us, sometimes when we want the policies of the company, then we don't get them. So the police is only sitting there in their offices.
Sure. Yeah, it is a tough space. It is a tough space. And I really do that hope that, you know, given that this has been referred as a dispute to the CCMA, I really do hope that the mediation process itself, I think, is empowering, you know, for you as a Casual Workers Advice Office, as well as, of course, the affected parties. Because, again, I think, you know, labor pressure points in South Africa are an endemic, I think, issue, and we certainly, I think, need to move towards a really inclusive type of economic marketplace that does truly respect and recognize the worker. And I really do, as I said, Sissy, that hope that the CCMA is able to mediate effectively and with the right level of efficacy in a way in which it actually really does derive you know, overall benefit for all those who are involved. So Steliwe, thank you very much, and wishing you a lovely evening further.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunities for bringing me to your show.
100%. Power listener, that was Deliwe Kupe, who is coming from the Casual Workers Advice Office, and she is an organizer. Yeah. Nature's Garden, there is some challenges there around the definition of an employee, the working conditions there, and of course some other I guess challenges around particularly issues of you know, sexual harassment in the workplace, favoritism, and a whole lot of other issues. I really do that hope that the CCMA does get on top of it.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.